What's going on, everybody? You're listening to an episode of the Polska Report. I'm your host, JVB. So I was in the Philippines, and my wife and I were walking around a few malls, and there was one particular mall that had an interesting setup. They had one section of the top floor dedicated to electronics, and they had a bunch of kiosks and a bunch of small stores. So you would have a store for Samsung, showcasing their phones and tablets. Another store for Sony, mostly cameras, TVs. Not the biggest Sony store in the world. And then you would have Anchor, stuff like that. But what was really interesting was that the biggest display was dedicated to PC gaming. And that was like really highlighted in this particular section of the mall. And oops, I just hit my microphone. So it got me thinking, should I walk around and try to find more gaming stores and see, like, get the vibe of what they play in the Philippines? Is consoles really a thing? And which consoles are they playing? So I did find a little store that's similar to GameStop. I forgot what they call it. I saw a few of those stores scattered around the Philippines, and they're really tiny. I mean, really tiny. Like, everything is like stuffed into shelves, and like you really gotta depend on the worker to find whatever the hell you're looking at, because good luck with that. So I did notice that people were buying the Switch. I saw some people buying the Nintendo Switch. We bought our nephew a game, and it was about $20. It would be equivalent to $20 US. It takes two. That was the game they wanted, and they have a PlayStation 4. They don't have PSN. They don't have the PlayStation Network. Even though it does exist over there, they just don't subscribe to it. So I didn't want to buy it via digital. They wanted a hard copy. So we bought one. It was about equivalent to $20 US, which is way more than what we would pay here. And as a matter of fact, if you do have, you know, any of the PlayStation Network services, you can play that for free. So, I also wanted to buy them a controller for the PS4. One of the controllers they have there is quite beat up, and we were told that they are discontinued. So they were like, yeah, no matter what store you go to here, you may not find one. You may find one used. So I found that pretty interesting. And mostly because we can go to any store and buy a freaking PlayStation 4 controller at any given time. So I found that a little weird. They did sell PlayStation 5s. I did see that. Now that I think of it, either I wasn't looking or they didn't have any Xbox. I really don't remember seeing one. I don't even remember if I was looking. It would have been interesting to see or not see, because I should have asked about that. But I wasn't there to be into any console war bullshit. I was just there to get the vibes of the gaming scene and to see if anyone really focuses on consoles. For example, a PlayStation 5 would cost you about $50 extra over there in the Philippines. And I'm talking about $50 US. So it is pricier to buy a PlayStation 5 in the Philippines. And quite frankly, not a lot of people are going to be spending that much money on a video game console. Not, you know, you do have people there with great jobs, making a lot of money, but the average household, no, they're not going to spend that money on a video game console. My nephew, one of my nephews, I saw him playing on a gaming laptop. He was playing a first-person shooter. I wasn't really sure which one it was. It wasn't Fortnite. He was playing just fine. The frame rate looked good. He had his headphones on. He's doing mouse and keyboard. And I'm like, oh, shit, check him out. So I am really confident that PC gaming is more common than console gaming in the Philippines. Now, I was in Manila, so I could be totally wrong. But PC, there's more of an entryway for PC in a place like the Philippines. And I say that because you can buy a computer for the entire family, and if that computer is capable of playing Fortnite or Roblox, you know, there's so many like free multiplayer games that it doesn't require a lot of power either. You just need a strong internet connection. So I can see where the PC market has a stronger hold outside of America, because the PC can benefit everyone in the household, whereas a PS5, it's just for whoever is into video games. You can't do shit besides play video games. And that's just how it is over there, right? You need the utilities that have a purpose for the entire household if you're going to spend that type of money. You better be buying something that benefits the entire household, meaning that that computer is able to send emails, you could do your homework, you can, you know, scan stuff and send it, you know, to the bank or whatever. It has a purpose. And yeah, that's the difference between us in America and people in Asia, right? They're not going to splurge where we will splurge. We will have the luxury of being able to buy a console that is $500. And if we can't buy it straight out with money, we put it on credit. Either way, we're going to get it. We're going to buy all the games, all the accessories. And then we're going to do nothing but bitch about it on the internet, criticizing the other console, talking shit about the video games that you get on those consoles. We're going to do everything but actually use the fucking consoles. That's us. That's us here in America. Whereas overseas, you enjoy whatever the hell you can afford. So my nephews, they heard about It Takes Two for quite a while. And my wife never heard about it. So she's like, yeah, they want a game called It Takes Two. And I'm like, oh, shit, good choice. Because, you know, I have three nephews over there in the Philippines. And one of them was like really excited about this game. And when we bought it, he was really freaking happy that we bought him this fucking game. And as a matter of fact, while we were there, the first night we were there, my son was with us. And he put on Street Fighter V. And they were playing, but they didn't have PlayStation Network. But they had a few games, you know. They didn't have a huge library of games. But it was mostly games that they can play with somebody else. So that was cool. So right away, you know, the gamer in me was like, yo, I gotta expand their library. Where can we go to buy them more games? And my wife was like, chill out, you know. They're not like that. They're not going to sit there for hours and just play video games, so chill out. So I was like, okay. I was ready to spoil them with a bunch of games, controllers. I was like, yo, can we buy them a PlayStation 5? And my wife looked at me with this look. And I was like, all right, let's, okay. But yeah, that was like my initial thought. It was like, yo, I got to buy them more games, you know? But they're totally fine with what they got. Totally fine. 100% content. And then I returned to the States, you know, because I was following the community on YouTube and Twitter, the gaming community, and nothing's changed, you know. The weird thing was I was receiving information like either really late because of the, you know, we were ahead 13 hours. So it was a really weird situation for me. Like I couldn't really interact with anybody when the news, when I was able to actually get whatever news. So I was like, all right, you know, whatever. When I get home, I'll just, you know, make a quick podcast and talk about certain stuff. The biggest thing that people are talking about right now is that Indiana Jones, which is going to be an Xbox exclusive, is in first person. Machine Games, who they do the Wolfenstein games, which are good. I enjoy those games. They're going to make the Indiana Jones, I believe, the Full Circle or some shit. So there's confidence, right? That they're going to have good mechanics. The shooting is going, well, not shooting. I'm sure there will be some guns. But overall, I have faith that because of who they are, that the game is going to control very well, which is very important. Will it look jaw-dropping, right? Well, we don't know. Based on what we saw, it's not really going to be anything evolutionary in the graphics department. And the reason why I bring that up is because of the technology we have now. We expect every game to just change the game, right? They step the game up in the visuals and all that. We expect every new IP or every new release to redefine what visuals are. So that's the reason why I bring that up. So this is not one of those games. But that's not what Machine Games is all about. Especially the Wolfenstein. Freaking crazy-ass stories, gruesome violence, and good gunplay. So the biggest issue people have is that it's not third person. Well, no one says that it has to be freaking third person. So it's in first person view. Hey, give the freaking game a chance. Let's see how it plays. You know, people were bitching. People were like, oh my God, it's first person. There's no way I'm going to play this shit. You're really doing a bad job in representing yourself, because if the game turns out to be good in first-person view, you're going to change your mind, and you're going to look like a fool. Take the wait-and-see approach. Give the studio a chance. Let the game come out, and then criticize it. But that's not the way this gaming community is right now. Everyone needs to make an opinion. And most of the time, these opinions are outlandish and they need to be said right on the spot. They need that attention immediately. It's kind of comical. For example, they showed more Hellblade 2 footage. Now, I can't say gameplay. Some of it was gameplay, but I played the first Hellblade. I enjoyed the shit out of it. So I know what kind of game it is. It was never a game where it was going to have the type of gameplay that you would see in Horizon. There's no way that Senua, however you say her name, Senyu or whatever, is going to move like Aloy. Aloy, not Aloy, Aloy. There's no way. That was never going to happen. Some people said, oh my God, it's going to be as big as Horizon. Gameplay is going to be similar. I would like to know when the hell anyone said that was going to happen. And the problem is that people were running with this. So because people were running with these theories or these assumptions, more like it, people were disappointed with what they saw with Hellblade 2. Me, I kind of expected it to look the way it looks. It's going to play very, you know, the gameplay was simple in the first one. I could see them adding a few more tweaks. It should move a lot smoother, maybe 60 frames per second, which would be a welcomed addition. It's going to look nicer. But the main attraction for Hellblade was the sound. You needed to play it with your headphones on to get the full effect. And they weren't lying when they told you that. The biggest asset for Hellblade, in my opinion, was the sound. The voices talking to Senua, or Senyu, to the character. I'm not going to fuck up her name anymore. Well, you, the player, the voices talking to you. It was creepy. At times it was unsettling. It was like, holy shit, these voices just keep popping up. And you don't know if there's a character around you or if it's the voices in your head. So that is the highlight of, for me, Hellblade 2. So I had to pause real quick just to make sure I was saying the right fucking game. You guys know I have a brain injury, so sometimes I will say the wrong shit and not even realize it until like days after I've edited and uploaded a podcast. So yeah, Hellblade. I'm talking about Hellblade. So yeah, people need to relax. Once again, just like I was saying with Indiana Jones, the Circle Jerk or whatever it's called, people need to give, which comes out in May, Hellblade comes out in May, I believe. Let the game come out and shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Not everybody needs to hear your fucking opinion, which most of the time is lousy. It's a shitty opinion. So a lot of people just assume that they are more important than they really are in this gaming community, that their opinions is going to carry and be taken seriously. There's a lot of clowns in this fucking gaming community. Of course, I'm sure people call me one of those clowns, because I do trolling. Well, not as much anymore. But I know that I'm trolling. I'm not being serious. Some of these people, they swear they're fucking knowledgeable, when in reality, they're talking out of their ass. So, yeah, I'm not the biggest Xbox fan right now, you know. I don't own an Xbox purposely, but I'm willing to give their games a chance to come out and see how they do. And if their games, if they have Indiana Jones and it's a good game, and Hellblade 2 is a good game, then that's two more reasons that I can possibly purchase an Xbox. Or not just me, anyone. So people need to just chill the hell out. There's a difference between trolling to bust people's balls, right? And when you do that, you have to accept the fact that people are going to troll you back. And that's the issue. There's some sensitive people out there who love to dish it out, but as soon as you return, you start dishing it back, they freak out and they get offended. They block you or they fucking try to get your account blocked. It is the funniest shit, right? So I stick with the same people who I know can take a joke. It was funny. I was speaking to a friend of mine named Lano. He used to podcast with Sarcastic Gamer, another veteran podcaster from back in the days when the gaming community was all together. right? We all had difference of opinions, but we all respected each other. We all helped each other out. And he hit me up, right? We're planning on doing an episode. We don't know what we're going to talk about yet. But we were talking about how, you know, the podcasting scene has obviously changed, and how back then when we were podcasting, we were there for the start of all this. And now we see that there are people who have some of the traits that we had. But the difference is, back then, if you said stupid shit that wasn't true or that was starting some type of drama, you were called out. And not just by me, a bunch of us would get together, have a chat with these people, and we would try to freaking, we would try to make them see like, yo, you're making all of us look stupid. This is not what we're about. We are trying to become legit. We want the industry to respect us enough to send us review copies, send us press releases, send us to events to preview their games. Not just the fucking IGNs or the Game Informers. We want the independent podcaster to be at that same level. And the only way we're going to do that is by being legit, being individuals, but yet providing proper information to not just our listeners, but to the entire industry. And we saw the benefits of that. As a matter of fact, the last video game event that I went to, where I was flown in to Seattle to preview one of the battlefields, Lano was there as well. He was flown there too. There was a bunch of us from different websites, from different podcasts. We were there together as a crew, hanging out in the hotels, sitting for hours in the hotel lobby, just talking video games. We were just at freaking PAX, PAX West, and my voice cracked. I don't know why. And then we, after PAX West, we go back to the hotel. We change or whatever. We go down to the lobby, and we're spending hours talking about video games again. Unfortunately, those type of events don't exist anymore, which really sucks, because I feel that if today's podcaster or YouTube content creator about video games, if they were able to go to some of these events and see each other face to face, their tone would change. The shit they say would change, because now you're seeing each other face to face, and now you have to face the music in person. And it used to happen back in the day. People used to talk shit about each other, but then you would see them at an event and they look at you and they're like, oh, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? You got to give them the side eye and be like, dude, what do you mean? What's up? I remember there was, as a matter of fact, this happened at the same PAX West that I was in, where EA flew me to preview, Battlefield. Months before that, there was a situation where when I lived in Florida, I was part of this company, website, whatever. We became a company called SFX 360, right? South Florida 360. And we used to set up game nights at local bars. We used to set up, and all the proceeds would go to certain charities. We would have these parties. We teamed up with Gamertag Radio to throw these huge parties at college campuses. We would have freaking sponsors. We would have fucking PCs set up in certain areas, they will have competitions. They will give, we will give away prizes. We were even in the freaking news featured, right? And there was some drama with one of the people that was part of the SFX crew. She lived somewhere else in the United States. She started talking shit about one of the founders. Now, her and I never had any issue, but you talk about my friends and it's unjust. You talk about me, right? That's how I am. I'm loyal. And I spoke to her over Skype and I'm like, yo, what the hell's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And she was like, nah, if you're associated with that person, I'm not going to talk to you, blah, blah, blah. And her husband at the time was a popular e-gamer or whatever. I forgot his freaking name, but he used to wear contacts that were like white. And lo and behold, he was accused of freaking harassing young teenage kids, boys too. I think one of her sons he molested. But I found that out years, many years after this particular situation I'm talking about. So I'm in the lobby. I forgot who I was with, right? I'm in the lobby waiting for the elevator. It's me and somebody else. Maybe it was Paris. And we're talking. The elevator opens up. And who do I see? I see this woman with her husband. Now, the husband and I, we never had issues. We used to be cool with each other. Man, I forgot his fucking name. He used to have spiky hair, contacts. He was like in a few commercials for like computer gaming accessories. So we have eye contact. And she's like, hey. And I'm like, she says, hey to me. I shook my head. I nodded my head, not shook my head. I nodded my head and I just turned around and ignored her. Because I was like, yo, I'm not the type to just forget what you did. And the person that she had the beef with, he was invited to the same event. So I had to figure out a way how to keep them separated. And I told my friend, I said, yo, guess who's here? And do me a favor, stay away. Let's not cause any freaking drama here. Let's keep it the way it is. Everybody's having fun. Let's just keep it between you and I. And of course, my friend was like, yeah, whatever. Fuck her. So that's an example of when you talk shit, you never know who you're going to meet, right? You never know when you go to these events and you see these people and all of a sudden you're like, hey, it's like, what? Don't tell me hi. You were just talking some shit. Nah, this is not how it works. But unfortunately, we don't have those types of events. You can't, you know, and it's very unfortunate. It would be great for people to experience that. There's nothing like going to an event, meeting up with people that you've met online, and just sharing the love for the video games that you saw at the event or the consoles you play on. There's just a different tone when you see people in person. The console war shit, it goes out the window because now you can look at each other, joke about all the crap you guys been talking, and cause a real, you know, create a real relationship. Those days are over. Unfortunately, it fucking sucks. But yeah. Today's content creator, these new cats coming in, I mean, they repeat the same shit that they've heard from somebody else just because it attracts attention, and they're satisfied with that. Their content has no fucking lasting power. It's immature. It's trash, but they are content because why? It gives them a little popularity for the moment, and it gives them some kind of revenue. It's not worth it. Believe me. You're better off thinking, constructing something useful that later on when people listen to your shit, they're going to be like, oh, cool. Not live at the moment and say stuff about consoles or other creators that isn't true. Like, what's the guy's name? Ah, man. Colt Eastwood, I think. This guy's like a big Xbox evangelist. He's like a fucking minister at one of these big churches that you see on TV. He's preaching. He's saying all kind of bullshit. And also at the same time, his cronies are walking around with a basket looking for fucking donations. He's a fucking clown. But guess what? He found a niche and he continues to build on that niche because people enable him. He is saying such bullshit that isn't true. And no matter how many times I see people calling him out, it doesn't change what he does. Why? Because that's all he knows. So in the future, when people look back and his content is still around, if it is, they're going to be like, wow, this guy was really off. This person was like making up shit. Is this what you guys used to call content? So I guess, hey, there is some type of lasting power with him, right? It'll be comical more than anything. But yeah, going overseas and seeing how they take gaming compared to the way we take gaming. They take it serious like we do. But I can see where the mobile aspect comes into play. It seemed like everybody had a fucking Android phone. Like, I saw a few iPhones, but man, I saw way more Android phones. So, yeah, mobile, computer gaming, that shit to me, from what I saw, from what my month in the Philippines, I was able to see that the console really isn't the main source of gaming over there. Like, I couldn't, you know, as someone who grew up with video game consoles, starting from, you know, early 80s, yeah, I can't see myself not having a fucking video game console that I play my video games in. Which is another thing. A lot of people are talking about how, you know, Satya and some of the big executives for Microsoft were talking about Xbox going third party with their software. And I mentioned that, right? I mean, for me, that's no surprise if they really do go there, because financially would be a success. It would be a total success. They would be, in my opinion, the biggest third-party publisher in the industry. So why wouldn't Microsoft do that? And what would be the problem if they did? I know a lot of people, they just want to, you know, mock all the weirdos, like I said, the Colt Eastwood and all his other weirdo friends. Yeah, we mock them. We make fun of them because of all the lies they talked about with, you know, Game Pass is the future. That was the biggest joke of them all. And how, you know, the 12 teraflops is going to dominate the 9 or 10 that's on the PlayStation 5 and all this mumbo jumbo, right? And now we see the real world results and how the PlayStation 5 is dominating in every aspect: sales, the quality of games, performance. And that's okay, right? Like I've stated a few times in my podcast, there has to be a number one, there has to be a number two, or a number three, right? There has to be someone who the other competitors are trying to catch up to and dominate, right? Or take over. And that's what leads to competition and better products. We see Samsung with their phones. The iPhone, it lacks a lot of the features that you would see on an Android and on a Samsung phone. I'm going to use Samsung. Their new S24. It is titanium. It has AI features. It has a beautiful screen. And the Max Pro, whatever, the largest one, comes with the S Pen. The iPhone 15 doesn't have an S Pen. It doesn't have the AI features. But guess what? People gravitate to Apple because everything works flawlessly. The apps that are made for the Apple ecosystem work smoothly. Whereas if you purchase, for example, I use Lightroom on my iPhone, which is a photo editor. And I have it for my Note 20 Ultra and my iPhone 14 Pro Max. The interface is different between the two phones. The performance is different between the two phones. And even though I have a little more real estate on my Note 20 Ultra, the iPhone 14 Max, for some reason, it just gives me a smoother experience. It's hard to describe, but you can have the crazy features that your competitor doesn't have. You can have, you know, the S24 is going to have the Snapdragon 8 or whatever, the brand new Snapdragon processor, which is a, you know, from what I heard, a very good processor, very fast, good performance, and the AI features. It still won't neck and neck, well, not neck and neck, head to head, when someone is comparing both phones in a video and showing you real world usage, you'll see that applications just work better on an iPhone. So it negates all those special features that on paper should dominate the mobile phone, you know, demographic. So it's not always about hardware specs. It's the development of the software, the integration of the software, and the third party developers who support your system over the other system. All of that comes into play. The same should applies to video game consoles. So, yeah, not Apple, Xbox going third party, to me, there's no issue there. There's no issue. But just like everything else, you know, I was watching a video with my wife. It was the History Channel. It's an old video that they published about the 90s. And they were talking about, you know, how big the freaking mobile phone was. And they were talking about the AI that defeated a freaking professional chess player who never lost, who had a perfect record, but he lost to this computer. And you see the sizes of the size of the computers they were using for this AI, and now you see what technology we have, right? We have AI on a fucking phone that can do way more than that AI that defeated that professional chess player. So a lot of things have evolved. And when I think of the 90s, I think of Funkoland. I think of Blockbuster. Of course, EB Games, GameStop. We only have GameStop now. And now they're talking about possibly phasing out physical media. That's dangerous. It's dangerous because we lose ownership of that fucking game. I know I download a lot of games on my PS5 and I'm at risk of the same shit. But that's by choice. If you give us a future where we don't have the choice, we are fucked. Because now the powers that be have full control over what we watch. Well, not what we watch, because they do that now, over what we play. So just think of the movie industry, the streaming services, how the streaming services looked promising when they first began to develop. And it was our way of cutting the cord and getting rid of the expensive cable channels. And, you know, we would pay for shit we weren't going to watch. And now you look at how things have changed, and the streaming services are just as expensive, if you have quite a few of them, as basic cable. And in all of these services, they're taking content away. For example, HBO Max, they have a section, watch before it's gone, because they rotate content all the time. We don't need that in our video games. We see it in PSN, where PSN and Game Pass, where they rotate games. That's control. That's called control. We're paying them to control the content that we're going to play. We're paying them to control that, which is weird when I say it out loud. So yeah, we love that convenience, but I'm telling you, and I thought of this when I was watching the Samsung unboxing for the new S24. They have a feature where the phone, if you're speaking to someone of a different language, as they're talking to you, it could be over the phone or in person, the AI will translate on the fly, as in real time, what they're saying. And then you can respond, and the AI is going to, if it's over the phone, they'll have an AI voice translating back to the individual in their language. That is convenience. There's a generation that grew up with the power of information at a click of a button. Right? There's a generation that grew up with computers and the internet. And then there's another generation that grew up with the mobile phone. We have so much information available to us, and we don't fucking use it. It's fucking funny. I remember going to the library, talking to the librarian, looking through a thesaurus, finding the book that I wanted to freaking read, and either sitting down at the library or freaking taking it out for whatever amount of weeks that I had to have the book. We literally had to search for the information. And that's why we were able to remember it a little more, because That information, if you went and you searched for it, you have to read it. You have to write it down if you're doing some kind of project. Nowadays, we can simply ask our phone a question and they'll answer it. You'll repeat it and then you forget about the fucking question 5 minutes later. You'll totally forget that you even were given that information. So now we have the capability of going to a different country using our AI-powered phone to have a conversation with somebody in their native tongue. And we don't really have to use our brain for anything. So nowadays, we have these powerful computers in our pockets. Some of us have it as a watch. We have all this information through our mobile phones. Now our mobile phones are going to be able to talk for us. And then we have, you know, it all started with the fucking drive-thrus, you know, which were very convenient at the time, right? You go through McDonald's drive-thru because you don't have time to sit down for lunch. So you go through the drive-thru, you grab your lunch, you eat it as you're driving, right? But now you have the same shit for coffee, right? You have the same shit for Starbucks. I've seen drive-thrus where people were dropping off their kids at school. I saw that in Florida and I freaked out. I was like, what? This is where we become? Where you treat your kid as you would a Dunkin' Donuts, right? You go through a Starbucks or a Dunkin' Donuts, you pick up your order, you drive away. And then you go to the school, you drop off your kid, and you drive away. You lose that interactivity of taking your child to school, seeing them walk into the school safely, giving them a hug, giving them a kiss. All because your ass is too lazy to park your car and walk an extra 50 feet to the front of the school. That's called convenience. Now we can order our groceries and pick it up or have them delivered. We can tap an application, have a car pick us up. There's a lot of convenience, and it's really taking away what makes us different from the rest of the animals in this world. Our brain power, our ability to think and solve problems. And now we have an application that will talk for us. Yeah, we're heading in a weird fucking place. It won't be long until we have no, I'm trying to word this correct. I always think of Wall-E, where people were in these hoverboards, like these lazy boy couches or seats that would float. And you see them with the big sodas eating French fries and they're all overweight. Nobody wanted to walk. Nobody wanted to go outside. Who do you think benefits from that? It's not us. You lose the human element. You lose the ability to go outside and conversate with a total stranger. That's dangerous because now you lose the ability to interact in real life. Your whole persona, your whole world is controlled by the people providing these applications, these services, just the way they do with Netflix, and they want to take something away. So imagine if, because Apple's releasing their virtual, well, not virtual reality, but their AR headset, Apple Vision Pro, I believe. And people talk about it, and they're like, yo, this thing is really, it really does make a solid case for where things are going to go in the future, where you have this interface in front of you, and you have these glasses, and you can still see what's in front of you, even though you have these glasses, and people can see these, you know, computer-generated eyes. And this is just the beginning. So imagine walking into a virtual supermarket. You don't even have to go outside anymore. You just select the shit you want. And it's up, you know, that information is sent to a supermarket. They have someone grab all the items that you selected in your virtual supermarket, and they deliver it. You don't have to go outside anymore. Who benefits from that? Well, Samsung, Apple, all the internet providers, or your cell phone providers, all the people who own the towers, all the people that install the freaking hardware for those towers to work, all the politicians, all everybody else benefits except for the user. And that's fucked up. Because now we get overweight and the pharmaceuticals, now they're benefiting from that, right? You suddenly develop anxiety because you don't know how to handle real world experiences, real world interaction. Once again, the pharmaceuticals kick in. Fast food, they benefit, right? McDonald's, I got to stop saying right. I apologize for that, because if I was hearing somebody saying that all the time, I would be annoyed. So my bad. But imagine, you order McDonald's, and you've been to McDonald's where they have the kiosk, and you put in your order, and then they get in at the counter. You already have an application where you can order your food and have it delivered. But now you have these goggles. You just start pointing your finger, and it's already on its way. I saw this AI assistant, I believe it's called Rabbit or something. You start talking to it, and you say, yeah, I'm in the mood for, you know, a burger, blah, blah, blah. And it'll tell you, all right, I'm ordering your food. Confirm that you want this food. You say yes. And it'll tell you, your food will be here in 10 minutes. Meaning that all of your information is already pre-installed, right? Your credit card information, right? Your payment information is already entered. Now all that the computer has to do is through an algorithm decide which restaurant to order from, regardless of the price. And if you approve it, it does everything else. Submits the order, submits the payment, and then we'll tell you when the food is going to arrive. That's convenience. That's convenience that we kind of all used to dream about when we used to watch Star Trek. But at least in Star Trek, they were going to different fucking planets, and Captain Kirk was screwing alien women. Now, it's going to be people screwing virtual reality women, or whatever. Yeah, we could be heading into a very, very dystopian world or country. After seeing what's in the Philippines, you know, that type of technology, is a ways away for them. So where are the guinea pigs? And because I've always stated that in America, we've been programmed to be distracted by everything else except for what's really going on, what's really important. We're just letting it happen. So yeah, I don't know how the hell I got into this whole AI shit and the convenience. So I do apologize if I went off topic. I tend to do that. You guys know that. And it's been a while since I did my podcast because I was traveling. And then I had the recovery process. So, but yeah, you guys let me know what you think. Let me know what you think about Xbox possibly going third party. If Indiana Jones being a first person game is an issue to you. And if you're worried about all of these AI features being on your smartphone. Which, by the way, is attached to everybody. So many people, even in the Philippines, I saw people looking down on their phones, walking towards you, not even looking at you to see where they're going. So it's not just here. The smartphone is so addictive. It will consume you. And now you have an AI that is going to do things for you that you should be doing on your own. Yeah, it's a dangerous combo. So anyway, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm JVB. You guys take care.